let's share in reading of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to start in verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who hope, or those who wait for the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount on wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your own good time you answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer.
You guys, but I do not like waiting, and that is a hard song to sing and mean. Really, what I want to say is, Lord, don't make me wait. But I think that song is very nicely tied to the text that Adam read for us, and it reminds us that there's something important in waiting. I like how it connects humility with waiting. But I don't like to wait. Sitting at a doctor's office, no thank you. Lines in an amusement park, store checkout lines, anywhere where there's a big crowd, you're going to have to wait. Wherever there is a wait, you name it, I'm going to be there complaining. I have to sit through, if I have to sit through a light more than one cycle, if it's green and I don't get through, I'm going to throw a little baby fit. I don't like that. I'm going to be mad. The other day, I guess with Christmas shopping, I was on Southwest and Clack. And I had to wait for that light through like three cycles. I was grumpy. You know, David Krause is the guy. Part of his job is to figure out how the lights and stuff in town work, which is actually a really cool job. And he really likes when you complain to him about these things. But why do we dislike waiting so much? What's the deal with that? I think part of it is our time is just really valuable, right? And we don't want to waste the little time we have. But I think there's also a sense of powerlessness We're at the mercy of someone or something else. I did some vast Google research, very scholarly, because I was wondering, how much time do we spend waiting? And so the average person, I've seen various things on this, the average person spends 6 months of their lives waiting in line. What were you doing June 15th? Imagine all that time since June 15th, waiting in line. That's how much time you'll spend in your life doing that. 13 hours a year waiting on hold with customer service. Probably more if you use something like Straight Talk. 38 hours a year waiting in traffic. Probably more if you live in like Dallas. And then 146 hours a year waiting for a friend who's late. Probably more if you attend Westgate. Some of our newer members are whipping us into shape, though, so thank you for that. That's been nice. And then 9 years of your life spent on a phone. I put that one up there because that's what we do when we're waiting, right? When we're waiting, we pull out. If you look at, like, a doctor's office, everybody's sitting there on their phones. And unfortunately, if you look in traffic, everybody's on their phones. That's a lot of waiting, though. There's a lot of time. There's a lot of our lives spent waiting. And this is a season of waiting. Part of like the whole Advent season, there's a week where you focus on waiting. And waiting for Christmas, yes, waiting for presents, waiting for family time and time off of work. But traditionally, this is time spent waiting on God. Waiting on the arrival of a Savior who will bring peace. I think Joy to the World, I think, was the first song we sang, and we sang like a verse that we don't normally sing. But it was kind of speaking of God coming here and righting wrongs, making all things new, making all things right. We wait on God to do that. The world was waiting on Messiah for a long time. I've said before that to be a Christian is to be a person who waits. And that's not like a very good selling point for Christianity. We don't really like waiting. But God's people do a lot of waiting in Scripture. It's kind of a recurring theme in the Bible of barren women not being able to have a baby until they're really old. They're waiting a long time. The Israelites were enslaved for 400 years before the Exodus. In the New Testament, they're already talking about waiting for Christ's return. In fact, they're already getting antsy. Paul in the New Testament is saying, hang in there. It'll come eventually. We've been waiting a while for Christ to return. Sometimes we sin just because we don't want to wait. It's where a lot of our sin comes from, because we're impatient. And I think that's why one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. During the time of the Babylonian exile, they were waiting. And that's really our passage in Isaiah that Adam read. That's what that's about. It's about waiting during the exile. Maybe they were waiting in a time when they really almost lost all hope. They were barely even waiting anymore. They're ready to give up. They've been torn away from their land, torn away from the temple, which meant they were torn away from their God. And it was easy during that time to lose all hope. And so the text this morning is a reminder that even when it feels like God's not present, he's still there. Even when it feels like God doesn't care, he's still there working. If you look at their history, if you look at Israel's history in the Old Testament, they really always struggled with idolatry. They're often running off and worshiping some other gods, the golden calf, maybe Baal, maybe Asherah, maybe mixing up worshiping Yahweh God and other gods. It was a frequent temptation all throughout the Old Testament. But then by the time Jesus comes, it doesn't really seem to be an issue anymore. They're pretty strict monotheists. They got some other issues, but worshiping other gods isn't part of it. What changed? What finally fixed that issue? It's the Babylonian captivity. The Babylonian captivity is what finally straightened them out, this 70-ish years separated away. Gave them a lot of time to think. rethink their ways, feeling that separation from God. And that brought them back to reestablish their kingdom and their faith in a new, profound way. So that hiatus in Babylon, that period of wondering where God's at, that period of waiting, as painful as it was, it ended up being a very good for the future of Israel, for full, proper worship of Yahweh God. So this morning, and really this season, I want to challenge you to think of waiting not as just this throwaway, wasted time, but a time of intentionality, time to develop some humility, maybe a time of preparation. During the Babylonian captivity, Israel had to face their powerlessness, which is unpleasant. But they realized that, okay, I put my faith in horses and chariots, and look where that got me. That wasn't enough. My military might was not enough. Didn't work. Their negotiation skills, their reliance on foreign powers to protect them, that didn't work either. They were powerless. Waiting reminds us of our powerlessness, and sometimes that's why we don't like it. I can't make this light change. There's nothing I can do about that traffic light. I just have to sit there. I can't just like time travel to Christmas. We got a few days. And you know, maybe there's a few things you can do when you're waiting. Like if you're in a line at the grocery store and you look around, maybe there's a shorter line. Or maybe if you're stuck in traffic, the lane next to you is moving a little faster, you might switch over. Anybody line switchers in there? How many of you are like, I'm not doing that, I'm switching lines? Somewhere I've just committed. I've said, nope, I'm never switching lines because every time I do it backfires. Every time I move, that the line I was in seems to be going faster. You know, there's few things we can do. There's few ways we have any power when we're waiting. Sometimes it's good. It forces you to wait. It forces you to acknowledge your powerlessness and to just be at the mercy of that slow person in front of you, at the mercy of that traffic light, maybe at the mercy of God. You're powerless to move things forward. But sometimes it's good to remember and realize that no matter how much power or influence I have, because we do, we are people of power, we are people who have influence. But there are many things outside of that power. In many ways, I am helpless before God. I am helpless before others. In many ways, I realize I am small and insignificant. And that can sound bad, but I think I can also realize I'm small and insignificant in a good way. In a way that humbles me and fills me with awe of a powerful God. It reminds me that if I have any strength or any power or any goodness, it comes from the Lord. Now, I can't do this in every annoying situation, but it is nice when I can just say, there is nothing I can do to speed up this wait time. It is totally outside of my power. I cannot speed up this traffic jam. I am stuck here waiting. Sometimes if I can just accept that, if I can just accept my powerlessness, I can actually relax. And it's a little freeing. Being powerless sometimes can be freeing and not scary when you live out these verses like this one in Isaiah, when you realize I am an everlasting God who doesn't faint, who doesn't grow weary. He's in charge. I can relax, and I can trust in him to do the right thing, to take care of me. So sometimes waiting, you can almost think of it, you can almost embrace it as a spiritual practice to remind you of your powerlessness and of your reliance on God. I think waiting is also, you can think of it as a spiritual practice because it forces you to slow down. How many of you feel like this is a pretty busy and stressful season? Like, I'm worn out. I need a nap. I gotta shop. I gotta prepare the house. I gotta do decorations. I gotta make extra money to cover all the things. It's a stressful time of year. And my response to busyness is more busyness. My response to busyness is, well, I need to be very efficient and I need to be very productive at all times. If I can just scratch everything off of my list, work really hard, really fast, really efficiently, then I can get things done and then I can relax. I can have this sense of relief. And so some kind of hold up, like a slow driver, non-cooperative computer, drives me nuts because I'm trying to scratch things off the list. So this is a real interruption. This is a real frustration for me. But sometimes I realize that all the items on the list won't ever all be scratched off. That the key to rest and relief isn't really hard work, especially in a world that's always going to bombard you with the next thing, with the next thing to say yes to, with the next busyness, with the next to-do. The list of to-dos is like a never-ending death scroll, and sometimes we just need to acknowledge that. But as we think about waiting well, one of the ways that I think sometimes is waiting well, not all the time, this is not really my suggestion here. This is my efficiency, productivity mind thinking here, is to find a way to be productive while I wait. Any of you do that? Like read a book on my phone while I'm waiting in line at the store? I've actually learned to play guitar a lot of times during waiting. You know, if my family's all going somewhere, I'll pick up the guitar for a few minutes and start playing. I think my family started to feel like it's really passive aggressive. Dad's playing guitar. He wants us to hurry up. At least I tell myself that's why they don't like me playing guitar. But I think there is some space for that, right? To use this kind of throwaway time, to use it well. But I think it's also really nice if you can just use it to slow down and be present in that moment. We're so bombarded with information, with media, with music, to just stop and receive whatever is just in the world around you. Just turn everything off and just be present in that moment. Because waiting, it forces us to stop, and sometimes we need to be forced to stop. We're just going and going and going. To step off this hamster wheel of life, to slow down and have this relief from frantic activity. Sometimes when I'm in a good headspace, I can get mad in a traffic line and then just accept it, embrace it, turn off the music, sit in a quiet moment, and accept my powerlessness. If I can accept that there's nothing I can do here, I can just, rather than be mad, I can just be in the moment and embrace it for what it is. I had a bank teller the other day taking forever, and it was nice to just be present to the world for a moment. I rolled down my windows, I looked around, noticed some things I wouldn't normally notice, read some things I wouldn't normally read, and I realized that rush makes me miss so much of the world. So much is going by that I'm not even getting to see. The other day, I was waiting in a line at the grocery store, and I refused to take out my phone. And I ended up talking to a person. Yeah, that's it. That's the end of the story. That's a big deal. We don't do that very often. But some work and checklists, they can be done in a rush. But a lot of things you just can't rush, right? You can't rush time with friends. All right, we got 30 minutes. Let's talk about life. What's going on in your life right now? It wouldn't be very helpful. Wouldn't be productive. If you rush reading, you miss so much. There's a professor, a Bible professor at ACU, who is infamous for his first class. The first part of the first assignment in his first class is you learn how to speed read. And you know what that means. It's going to be a lot of reading assignments, so you better figure this out quick. And I never got very good at it. But even in that speed reading quick course, it says you're going to get like 80% of the material if you do this really well. When you do things fast, you're going to miss stuff. You can't rush conversation sometimes. You can't be like, hey, spit it out. Let me hear you. That's rude. It's hurtful. My family was talking the other day about how sometimes we wish conversations would just slow down a little bit. I noticed something in our culture that changed. I noticed as a youth minister is you need to spit it out quick now. If you don't talk fast and efficient, you're going to be interrupted and people are going to quit listening. You got to tighten things up. Sermons got to get shorter. We have slower attention spans now. But I think sometimes we need to think of waiting almost as little forced Sabbaths to slow us down, to take in the world in the moment for just a minute. Because the faster we go, the less we become. So I want to challenge you this season to embrace waiting as a way to build perseverance and humility and to disconnect from busyness and be more present to the world and the people around you. Maybe it's in the waiting that you will even notice some things God is doing that you've missed. I think that's very possible to miss what God is doing because we are in a rush. But our text this morning, it's not about waiting on these little annoyances that I've been talking about, technology or slow people or long lines. It's about waiting for God. And sometimes we can wait on God not very well. We can do not a very good job of that. We can doubt if he's even there, if he even cares. We can start wondering, is he present? Does God have the power to do this thing that I really want him to do? Is there some faithless ways to wait on God? We can wait on God with this anxiety. Is he really going to deliver? I don't even know. Have you ever waited with anxiety? Waiting, not really knowing if what you're waiting for is going to come? That's waiting with anxiety. That's no fun. There's been times, again, these places with huge crowds, like amusement parks, like Disney World. You like show up and there's so many people. There's so many lines. You don't even know what the line's for. And you get in a line and I'm like, I don't know if this is waiting to buy tickets. I don't know if this is for the bathroom. I don't know if this is to get in. And so I get in that line thinking like, I hope I'm in the right place because I don't want to wait for an hour and then realize this isn't what I was waiting for. That's tough. And so that's me waiting in anxiety. I'm in the line. I hope I'm in the wrong line. I hope I'm in the right line. I hope this gets me to where I need to go. Over Thanksgiving break, my family went to the Grand Canyon. We went to Sedona, and it was slammed. There was people everywhere. And I remember at one time in one line, I don't even remember where it was. I don't remember what the line was. But I see this group of guys get in the line. It's like four dudes. And one of the guys says, what's this line for? And then the guy in charge says, I don't know, but everyone's here. It's probably worth it. And I was like, are you serious, man? This might be the line for the bathroom. You haven't even like looked around to see how long the line is. Hey, guys, you should fire your friend. He shouldn't be in charge here. Okay, I didn't say all that. I just quietly judged him like a good Christian, okay? But I mean, that's just wild to me. I need to know how long I'm waiting. I need to know what I'm waiting for. But this passage reminds us, just like history does, God is powerful and present. And when you wait on God, you're waiting in the right line. You are in the right place. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when what God's doing, it doesn't make sense. That's another thing it says in this passage. It says, his understanding is unsearchable. His ways are higher than ours. And oftentimes we can look back and we can see that God knew what he was doing. I was in the right line. But waiting on God can be really hard, right? It can be a lot harder than waiting on some of these little annoyances I've been talking about. Some of you are waiting on God for answers. Answers on some pain in life, answers on some medical issues. I always hate that whenever you have this medical issue or someone in your family has this medical issue and you're having to wait for the doctors, having to wait to see what's going on. Maybe some of you are waiting on him to heal your marriage, waiting on him to fix a family issue, waiting on him to reveal himself to you in a way that revives your faith. Maybe your faith has taken a slump. We are people who wait. There are people who are waiting on God with you. I want you to know that you're not alone in the wait. But the verse this morning, it tells us it's worth the wait. God is in control. He knows what he's doing. You pick the right line, and eventually you're going to get there. For all of you, I hope you get what you're waiting for. I hope you are passionately pursuing him as you wait. But you may find something else in the waiting. Like Paul earned, you may find that his grace for you is sufficient. You may learn what you really need in the difficult process of waiting. It's my prayer that we can all wait for God in hopeful expectation and trust, not in anxiety. Wait for God like kids wait for Christmas, knowing good things are coming. There is celebration right around the corner. Knowing God is good and he is a God of the impossible. If you would like any prayers, any encouragement, or if you want to give your life to Christ, we want to invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.